Chapter 4 is about numerical differentiation. Of course, everybody knows that in physics, many fundamental laws are formulated as differential equations. So you have to calculate derivatives. You have to do that in all kinds of contexts. And therefore, of course, it's also very important to know how to do that numerically. Let's start with what you know from mathematics. That's this equation number 12. You know that the first derivative can be written as a limit where h tends to 0 of this expression f of x plus h minus f of x divided by h. And probably also you have learned in mathematics that in this case, if you now don't take the limit where h tends to infinity, if you have a finite h, that means then if you have what's called a finite difference formula, that then in this case the error is of the order of h. A very similar formula probably has been derived in mathematics for the second derivative, right? That's this equation 13. And there actually turns out just because it's symmetric, whereas equation 12 was not a symmetric finite difference formula, actually the error even grows or tends more rapidly to zero, namely as order h squared. Also, you should remember this formula. That's, I mean, we will frequently later in this course calculate the second derivative, right? So it's good to know this formula, that a finite difference formula for the second derivative is given by this f of x plus h, right? It's in equation 13, f of x plus h minus 2 times f of x plus f of x minus h divided by h squared. So those formulas, of course, tell us that we will get a more and more accurate result when the h tends to zero. That would be true if we have exact arithmetic, but as we have learned on a computer, we don't have exact arithmetic, and therefore actually it doesn't work. I mean, you see actually very well here, we have now again an example of the so-called catastrophic cancellation. If we go back, for instance, to this equation number 12, let's say we want to calculate the first derivative at the point x equals 1. And then we know that if the h is less than this famous machine epsilon, right, then f of x plus h will just be f of x. And then we have f of x minus f of x. So that means the first derivative will be 0 if our h becomes too small. On the next page 43, actually I show you the results of a numerical experiment. You see along the x-axis, right, the value of h that was used in on a logarithmic scale, and then along the y-axis the error. If we start on the right-hand side, right, I started with a very large value of h, 1, of course that's too large, then we get pretty large errors of the order of 1. And then first, I mean, like if we look, for instance, now, whatever, at this red curve, which gives the first derivative, then we see, first of all, as is expected from this equation 12, that when the h is getting smaller, right, then the accuracy is increasing. So the error goes down, and the error goes down until we have reached about 10 to the minus 8, right? That means we have now half of the decimal places in double precision, right? If you remember, we have roughly 16 decimal places in double precision. And now all of a sudden, if we are smaller than 10 to the minus 8, right, the error again goes up. Yeah, why does it go up? Yes, of course, the reason is now here we have the cancellation. Now that means actually in this case, more than half of the decimal places now become unreliable because of cancellations. And actually, of course, as h gets smaller, that gets worse. And therefore, I mean, yes, the error goes up. I mean, even more drastic for the second derivative. I mean, there you can get actually then completely crazy results. Make no sense whatsoever. So how can we now nevertheless calculate numerically derivatives with high accuracy? So we see we cannot just follow the recipe from mathematics, so that if the h is getting small enough, that then our error will be small. So what we have to do is actually we have to use finite difference formulas of higher order, and we will see that if we go to very high order, like something like order 16, then actually mathematics tells us that the error will decrease like something like h to the power 17. And then we can get with a fairly large value of h, perhaps something of the order of 0.1, we will see that then we can calculate actually numerical derivatives more or less with machine precision. Okay, so how can we get now such so-called finite difference formulas of very high order? Let's just again rederive the formulas 12 and 13 that you know already. I mean, how can you get them? So that's shown on page 44. That's this kind of little figure, right? We have a point x0, y0, a point x1, y1, and a point x-1, y-1. So we know here, we know the x values and the function values y. And then, of course, we can put a polynomial through those points. I mean, in the first step, actually, we can just put a polynomial that goes to the point 0 and the point 1. And you can immediately see that the function in equation 14 has this property, right? If you put, for instance, x equals x1, then the first term goes away. So we have x1 minus x1, so that's 0. But then the second term that's multiplying the y1, then we have x1 minus x0 divided by h. But by definition, x1 minus x0 is just h. So we have h over h times y1. So that gives indeed y1. So we see this function obviously goes through those two points. Yeah, then when we have a polynomial, of course, we can calculate the derivative. And then we get this equation 15, right, which is just a finite different formula that we have seen before, namely that the first derivative if is f of x minus f of x minus h divided by h. Okay, we can of course now use more points, right? Here we have just to rederive this formula, we have just used 2 points, 0 and 1. We can now use the 3 points. And if we have 3 points, then of course we can find a quadratic function that goes through all those 3 points. And this quadratic function is then given by equation 16. And again, here you can verify very easily that this polynomial goes through those points, right? Just put x equals to x minus 1, x0, or x1, and you will see that you will get the correct values of y minus 1, y0, and y1. Yeah, and then of course we can, again, for this polynomial 16, we can calculate the first and second derivative. And yeah, we get again, I mean, now 17 is essentially the same finite difference formula that you have already seen before, with the exception now that it's symmetric. So I don't use the point 0, I just use the point minus 1 and plus 1, which actually then results in a higher accuracy. And also when we then take the second derivative, we also get back the formula that you know from mathematics, right? That's the second derivative is given by f of x minus h minus 2 times f of x plus f of x plus h. Yeah, now I think it's clear what we have to do if we want to construct higher order finite difference formulas. We have to put higher order polynomials through a larger number of points. And then what we get in the end is always something of the type of this equation 19, right? We have our approximate L's derivative at the point x0 of our function f. That's given by a sum of functional values, right? We have now the point x0 is now the point in the center. And in this formula, I use now m points on the left and n points on the right. And on those points, right, I have to know the functional values y1. And then putting the polynomial through those points and taking the derivatives, I can obtain those coefficients ci, right? So that's equation 19 is now just a finite difference formula of higher order. Of course, the more points I use on the left and on the right, that means the larger m becomes, the higher, of course, is the order of my finite difference formula. So the question is now just, how can I get those coefficients ci? Well, if I use linear functions or quadratic functions, I still can do the calculation by hand. If I want to find a polynomial, I don't know, of order 16 that goes through whatever, some 16 points, then of course that would be quite difficult to do that by hand. But fortunately, nowadays we have available kind of those symbolic manipulation programs like Mathematica and Maple that can solve such a problem in a fraction of a second. So actually also to write kind of this kind of computer program for Mathematica or Maple is very simple. I show here kind of the commands that you have to use with Mathematica. So in Mathematica, you have a function which is called interpolating polynomial, which has just the property, right, that it goes through a certain number of points. Okay, so I don't here introduce the h. I put it I put it equal to 1. So for instance, we see here we have a first point that's minus 8 units away from the center. So that's on the left-hand side of my central point, then I get closer to the central point. I have minus 7 and y minus 7 and minus 6 y minus 6 and so on until I end up on the right-hand side with the last point, which goes to the x value 8 and has a y value y plus 1, yp 8. Okay, so that's a very high order polynomial that goes through all those here, right? I have 8 points to the right, 8 points to the left, and a central point. So it goes through 17 points. And I can, yeah, very easily with this command calculate this polynomial. Yeah, and then of course I just, as we also did before by hand, I have to differentiate this polynomial, put x equals to 0. And then you get the output that's also shown on page 46. And so you see we have now certain coefficients that are multiplying then this all the y values, y minus 1, y minus 2, up to y plus 8. And kind of those numbers here, they are now just those coefficients ci that I need for my finite difference formula. Okay, so you see here actually results are not given in as floating point numbers, results are given as fractions, so you can of course convert it then to a floating point number with 16 decimal places of accuracy. Okay, let's still nevertheless mention what is the formula for the error now. I mean, you can show by using just Taylor expansions now that if you have a finite difference formula, right, where you have m points to the right and n points to the left, then kind of the error bounds here given in equation 20 apply. So you see the error goes like a constant. And then if the derivative L is odd, like if you have a first derivative, then the error goes down like h to the power 2m minus l plus 1. If l is even, right, it's h to the power 2m minus l plus 2. So you see, the important thing is, right, you have always this h to the power 2m, and of course that's what we want, right? The larger m is, the faster the error goes down. And as we have seen before, if m is something of the order of 8, then I have h to the power 16. And if I put now h equals to 0.1, right, then the error should be of the order of 10 to the minus 16. That means more or less machine precision. Yeah, we can verify that on page 48. Actually, I have shown some numerical results. Right there you see a result for the first, second, third and fourth derivative, and you always see here indeed what you have seen in formula 20, that the behavior is different in the even and an odd case. Yeah, then on page 49 actually I give you a table with all those coefficients that go in our finite difference formulas. So you see I give here up to also m equals 8. So that's right, that's a formula we know that we need if we want to get more or less machine precision, but frequently also perhaps we are satisfied with a somewhat lower accuracy, and then perhaps we can take m equals to 4 or whatever. And here in this table you find also coefficients both for the first and second derivative. Yeah, okay, let's at the end still let's verify everything numerically. So here on page 50, again, I have a plot where I show on the x-axis kind of the age, and on the y-axis the error. And now here, that's actually a result for a first derivative. And so the red curve is now is kind of this low order finite difference formula, right, that we have seen already at the beginning. And there we know that as soon as we are here in the range of something like 10 to the here, I go only up to 10 to the minus 5, because we know that if we use smaller h values, then actually the error would go up very rapidly. But we see also here, I mean, we can reach an error of something like of the order of 10 to the minus 10, so we cannot reach full machine precision. And then actually as we go to higher and higher order, and actually the highest order are here the black dots, so that's this formula with m equals 8, right? 8 grid points to the right and to the left of the point where we want to calculate the derivative. There we see, of course, as predicted, we see this extremely rapid decay towards zero as we go from a step size of 1 towards a step size of something like 0.1. And we see indeed that with an h of 0.1, we have an accuracy of around 10 to the minus 14. So that means we have indeed now really nearly machine precision. Yeah, okay, so we see now indeed, so it is possible to calculate derivatives with very high accuracy in spite of the fact, right, that we have in all those finite difference formulas that we have kind of cancellation effects that can become very drastic, right, when the h is very small. Yeah, let's then still just briefly discuss now how to calculate partial derivatives, because of course that's also needed in many differential equations. And we can actually essentially use the same formulas that we have just used already for a one-dimensional function. So that's shown now on page 52. So let's assume we want to calculate the second derivative of a function that depends on x and y. So we take the derivative with respect to delta x, delta y. And then, of course, we can split it up. We can say, well, first we calculate the derivative with respect to x, and then in a second step we differentiate with respect to y. And now, of course, this first differentiation with respect to x, we know we can replace that by a finite difference formula, right? So we replace that by the sum f of x plus I times h, comma y times those coefficients ci over h, right? The ci come out of this table on one of the previous pages. Yeah, okay, then of course I can exchange the sum and the differentiation. And then, yeah, the differentiation with respect to y, I use the same finite difference formula. And then you see in the end, I get a double sum over I and j. And I have to evaluate now my function kind of on a rectangular two-dimensional grid, right? I have f of x plus I times h, y plus j times h. And then I have here the product of, again, always those same coefficients, ci, cj. And in this way, I can then also calculate partial derivatives. Of course, we see now if we go to functions that depend on more than two variables, then, of course, I would need not a kind of a square of functional values, but I would need a cube of functional values. And so as I go to higher and higher dimension, of course, then that can become fairly expensive. But nevertheless, like for functions that depend on three variables, that's typically still a feasible approach.